Need the Lord.
Amen.
I need to go ahead and preach. I'm afraid we've got people among us have just become very comfortable in being lost. And that just scares the life out of me. How can you come and sit under preaching Sunday after Sunday, people testifying, shouting, the Spirit of God among us, and just never act one bit concerned about yourself? I'd heard this, I guess, all my life, and I didn't know whether I wanted to tell this or not, or even when the right time would be, but I even done some research on it this week. I'd always heard about a frog. If you put it in a pot of water, and if you just gradually turn the temperature up on it, you got to go real slow from everything I understand, but if you just gradually turn the temperature up on it, that frog will not recognize what's going on until it's dead. It'll come to a boil, and that frog will be there, and it won't even fight it or nothing. And it just becomes comfortable in that state. And I look at some of you, and I love you so much, and this church loves you. And I look at you in the state that you're in. It's just like you're just getting comfortable, and I know that Satan is one making you be that way. You're getting closer and closer every breath you take. Without God, you're just a little closer to hell. You're just getting a little closer to boiling point. But you're comfortable in that state, and you're not even doing anything to fight it. And I promise I don't understand that. I don't understand how somebody could tell me I'm lost, but yet sit there Sunday after Sunday when the Spirit of God moves around. I wasn't that way. It bothered me. It troubled me. I'm not going to say I may have not have got under true conviction to one night, but I want you to know it bothered me. And I tried and I made an effort. Every time I was at a church, I'd go outside, and I ain't trying to encourage you to go outside, or I went to the altar. But I couldn't just sit in the presence of God's people and the Spirit of God, and it not bother me. It bothered me. It troubled me. And I see some today how they've just got comfortable. It seems that I don't know your heart. I don't know how you feel. But I want to say this. I don't believe you can just get saved anytime you want to. I believe the Spirit of God has to deal with you. I believe that. I believe you have to be convicted. I believe all these things. But I also believe there's a choice there. I believe God made man a free mortal agent, and he made Adam and gave him a choice. And I believe you have a choice today. And I believe a lot of you are not choosing to live. And Brother Brad, I'm going to take for text over in Deuteronomy chapter 30 over here in a little bit for a text. And Brother Brad preached on it a year or so ago during the revival. Choose life. And I don't plan on going about it the way he did. He done a lot better job than I'll ever be able to do with it. But today, there is a choice to be made. And I'm afraid you got comfortable in your condition and you're not concerned about it. And that bothers me. And it should bother everybody in here. It should bother us that they can come in and sit among us. And some of them may have never told us they're lost. But I have no doubt there's others here that are lost that come and say it and never make a move. You need to recognize your condition and recognize how serious this is. One of these days, the heat's going to be to a point you're going to recognize it. And I want you to know in that day, just like that frog, you're going to realize in that moment it's too late. I want you to realize Satan is making you comfortable in your condition. God don't want you to be comfortable in this condition. I'm going to take for reading this very familiar scriptures. And Brother Larry's been in 2 Kings for a while. We're going to read over there where about the leprous men. Where they sat at the gate. And they said, why sit we here until we die? We find the king of Syria had besieged Samaria there. And there was a great famine about them because they had besieged them. And I want you to realize today, these leopard men, I can't imagine the shape they're in. I have no doubt they were citizens of Samaria, and they'd been cast out according to the law because they were leopard men. And I believe that's why they sat at the gate. But they realized even if they went into the city, there was a famine there and they was going to die there. They were still not going to get nothing. So we realize today these men had to make a choice, and they chose to live. They wanted to live no matter how miserable they might have been. They was leprous men. I don't know if they was ever healed of their leprosy. I have no idea about this. They was cast out. I can't imagine being a leper. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandbabies. But these men had been cast out from their families. They couldn't go and hold their wife. They couldn't hold their babies. They had none of these things. They were separated. I want you to realize today, you're separated today. And you need to get a hold of that. You've been cast outside the camp because of sin. And I want you to know that's what that leprosy represented. But these men sat at the gate and they realized their condition and they wanted to do something about it. They chose to do something about it. And until you realize, you keep sitting there and not choose to do anything about it. Now listen, you would say, well, Brother Jeff, they can't simply choose. They can't accept Christ. Amen, I agree. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and I've ordained you to bring forth fruit. I realize that. But Mary also, when her and Martha was there preparing a meal, it said Mary chose the good part. I want you to realize there's choices to make in this matter. Please, today, don't just sit at me, look at me. And I give you all I got. Please consider what God has to say about this matter. Please today, don't fight it off. Don't push it away. But let God work on you. Amen. And choose to live today. Amen. There were four lepers, men, at the entering of the gate. And they said one another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. But listen, I've heard Brother Barry say it over and over. What do you have to lose? And that's where they was at. And they rose up in the twilight and to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel have hard against us, the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled at twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was, and they fled unto for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into to one tent, and they had eaten and drank and carried then silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried this also, and went and hid it. And they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. We hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." And I want to go over here and read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and 19. It said, "I call unto heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." And I want you to realize today, he has set before you today life and death. And you have an opportunity to choose today whether you are ever going to make a move towards the Lord. He will not make you. That's what the hard shells believe. They believe that if you're going to be saved, you'll be saved no matter what. That God will make you repent. I want you to believe, I don't believe that. I believe God has to be in the matter. But for you to sit here Sunday after Sunday and tell me God never did for you and you're lost, I believe you're a liar. I've got to believe that. I believe God's going to deal with you if you're lost. And so you sit back and continue to choose not to do anything about it. I find a woman, Sister Beverly, name of Naomi. Her and her husband left Bethlehem, Judah, because there was a famine there. They went down to Moab with the Moabites. Her sons took up wives there and married. Her husband and her sons both died. And she went and heard the famine was over there in Bethlehem, Judah. And she went to go back there. And her daughters, Ophrah and Ruth, wanted to follow and go with her. And she told them to turn back, that she would not have no more sons for them. She was too old. And one of them, she did turn back and went back to what she'd always knew. What she was comfortable in, serving a false god, going back and with her family. But there was one named Ruth. She was steadfast minded that she would not leave her mother-in-law, and she was aimed and bound and determined to go with her. I want you to know, she said that her Lord would be my Lord. And she said, "I will serve him and I will die with you there." She chose to leave all the comfort she had ever known, serving that false god, leaving her family, giving up everything. But she chose to serve the Lord thy God. There was a choice in that matter. It would have been easy for her to just sit back and just kept going down the road she was going down. She could have been with her family. She could have been comforted in all of that. But listen, she chose not to stay comfortable any longer. She chose that she wanted to serve the Lord. And that until you get a desire to be saved, you'll never be saved. Those lepers, I can't imagine what their life was like. But as miserable as they was, and uncomfortable as they was, and that's what I know this is going to sound mean. I don't mean to sound mean it is,
but I pray you would get uncomfortable. I pray this church would get uncomfortable. I sat at the gate watching her children getting ready to die and go to hell. Watching that frog bowl, standing over watching it, seeing it not doing anything. Not warning, saying, get out of there. Try to move, do something. These men was miserable. They were dying. They didn't have their families. They didn't have nothing. But they wanted to live. Can't you see where you're at? Don't you have a desire to choose life? You can live and you can have life more abundantly. You can live like you never have before.
Amen.
But you continue. Just sitting at the gate. Just keep sitting there. As the water boils more and more, not doing a thing about it. You say, once again, you'd say, well, Brother Jeff, they can't do nothing about it if God ain't in the matter. You've got to want it. You got to want God more than you want anything. That's what he said. If you love mother and father more than you do me, that's the reason Ophrah, she just went right back. Yeah. And she told her, said, you don't turn back. And she said, okay. She thought it was a whole lot better. Her heart was hardened. She went right on back to her family. She went right on back to doing what she was doing, what she was comfortable in doing. You've got really comfortable coming, sitting here Sunday after Sunday, revival after revival, service after service, testimony after testimony, message after message, shout after shout. And the water gets warmer and warmer. Satan turns it up just a little bit more and you're not noticing it. Hell is hot. It's hotter than boiling water.
Yeah.
But you're getting closer day by day. It's getting turning up just a little closer, and you're not even noticing it. You're just pushing it away. And you know what God said he's going to do in that day? Y'all pray for me. This has always been the hardest scripture for me to deal with. Not because it ain't the truth, but it just hurts me to know the God that I serve one day will look at lost people and he's going to tell them. He's going to push them to the side. He's going to deny them just like you're denying him. And he's going to remind you of every time you had an opportunity, every time that you had an opportunity to do something and you never done it. You say, well, you act like you're mad. I'm not mad. I'm hurt. I'm hurt that you would deny the one that gave his son for you. He loves you so much that he gave his son. And I want you to know it says he turned on him. When he all got, why have thou forsaken me, Father? Oh, Father. Why have thou forsaken me? Why did he do it? Because he loves you. And you choose to sit here and let the heat get hotter. Let Satan turn it up on you. Keep denying it over and over. I want to preach hell so hot that you can get a hold of it. Do you notice there's some heat there? Hell is real. Heaven is real. Life is real. Death is real. Choose you this day. Proverbs chapter 1. Turn you turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you and make known my words unto you. How does he do that? By the preaching of the word of God. He takes something like me. This is sorry as I am. You say, well, you're not a good preacher. No, I may not be. I may not come to you with enticing words and words of wisdom. But he takes the foolish. He uses the foolish, the weak, to confound the wise. And he lets you know through his spirit and through his word what is going to happen to you if you choose not to seek him. But because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said at naught all my counsel, would none of my reproof, no matter how much I dealt with you. No matter how many times I called on you and trying to get you to come to me, you just keep denying it. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. There's going to come a day your fear will come. When your fear cometh as dissolution and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When stress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. Honey, it'll be a time. There's a prayer meeting going on in hell right now. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Listen to me. If you don't hear nothing else, what I say today, you hear this. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Listen, you have a choice in this matter. You can sit back and push God away. I want you to know the beginning of knowledge is to fear the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord thy God, I feel sorry for you. Can he hold you today in his hands? Listen to what, and they would none of my counsel, and they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For turning away the simple shall slay them. Listen, you know who the simple is? You're turning away the simple when you turn away the word of God preached by the man of God. He uses the simple to confound the wise by turning away. I've seen men. Brother Carter Robinson, Brother David Swindle, this last revival, for example. I've seen Brother Barry. I've seen Dusty. I've seen Marty. I saw Brother Heath stand and preach to you all he had, trying to warn you, but you turned away. You turn it away over and over. And I know what the Bible says. Jesus said, if they rejected me, they will reject you also. But you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting God. You're rejecting the word of God. You're rejecting his spirit. And you just keep sitting there. I'll push it away a little longer. The water ain't that hot yet. I ain't noticed it getting any hotter. I preached one time on how far heaven and hell is away. Paul said he was carried up into the third heaven. The nearest stars we got with the fastest spaceship we have takes like 80,000 years with the fastest spaceship to get to the nearest star. The third heaven is above that. That's the nearest star. It's no way you ever get to heaven on your own. Hell, I believe it's a spiritual place. I believe that. I don't know how to tell you how far away it is. I don't know how to tell you how far away heaven is. But what my conclusion to all that was, it's one heartbeat. That's how close life and death is. Heaven is one heartbeat. Right now, mine's probably, I can tell you if this thing will come on, 77. So it's... One of these days, that's going to happen. And it's going to happen to you, too. You're going to take your last breath. You're going to have your last opportunity. Why would you choose death when you could live? My heart's going to stop beating, but I'm going to keep living.
Amen.
But you know the sad part of it is? You are too. You're going to ever live but die in a place called hell and never die. Every day die. Every day. And it won't be no day because it's always going to be as night. You'll never see no peace there. You'll be reminded over and over of turning away the simple. Shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God unto salvation. How many more times are you going to reject it? I'm fixing to be done. But listen to what it says. But whosoever hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear and evil. The one told them that you chose not to fear the Lord. And because you chose not to fear the Lord, you will die and live in a fear and be destroyed forever. But those that trust in Him, that hear Him, that choose to seek Him and be saved by Him, shall dwell safely. And I don't want nobody leaving here saying that Brother Jeff believes you can just simply accept Christ or choose. I don't believe that, not one bit. But I believe there's people full of hell that chose not to do not one thing. And if you're waiting for Him to make you to do something, you're going to be waiting a while. He wants you to want Him. The night I got saved, I didn't know how to get saved. I had no clue on how He got saved. But I know I wanted Him more than I wanted anything else. That's what I wanted. The fear of hell got a hold of me just like it did David. It did. I'm telling you the truth, it did. But that what I wanted was Him. And He gave me peace. I was able to dwell safely. That's what saved is. It's being safe. You're able to dwell with peace and safety. That's what I have today. That's all I've got. And it's going to take me. I've heard people say, if that don't take me there, I ain't going. It's going to take me there. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Not because nothing I done, but what he done for me. But I had to want him. I had to need him. I had to do something about my situation. So why sent ye here until you die? You know something? I leave every time I preach to the lost and they reject the word of God, I leave and I'm hurt and I'm crushed. I ain't gonna lie, I am. You can ask my wife, it takes me days to be able to sleep. Because I thank Lord that I failed them. And if he ain't gonna fail, I know that. If anybody fails, it's gonna be me. But you have a choice in this, and I realize that. You ain't gotta do a thing about it. I realize that. And no matter how much your mom and daddy loves you, how much Pa and Granny loves you, how much this church loves you, how much I love you. God so loved the world that he gave his son for you. But he will let you reject him. And then in that day, he will laugh at your calamity. Because you despise his reproof. You despise his conviction. You despise every bit of it. You despise the preacher that stood and told you. You despise the church that tried to encourage you. And you say, one day I'll be old enough to move out on my own and I'll never come back in them doors again. You know something? You got that choice too. You got it, and he'll let you make it. But I want to encourage you to be like Mary and choose the good part. He's the good part. And you know what he said? That part will not be taken away from her. Oh, there they say it once again, looking at each other. Leopard men can't hold their families. Ain't got nothing, nothing. Man. That's where you need to be, realizing you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got it, got God, you ain't got a thing. Amen. And they finally got willing to do something about it rather than just sit there. You're going to have to get willing to do something about it. That's my thought. My prayer is today that you'll choose life. Amen. If God is dealing with you, this altar here is open.
Amen.
If God is working on you, I heard Brother Tim Eden say before he'd get up to preach, he'd say, I just got just a little nudge. And an hour later, he'd get done preaching. If he's just giving a little nudge today, he's just encouraging you a little bit to seek him. Move upon that little nudge. Don't just sit there. As we stand, have a song. Seek the Lord today will be my prayer.